I'm talking about me.
he revealed it. I have yet to have a question that I asked him, reveal this, Lord, to me, because I just got to know. He's revealed everything.
Amen. That's a good lead-in, because I was having a real struggle with this material I was going to cover today. I said, Lord, you got to show me something. This is not, you know, I'm not getting much here. And so he did.
Amen. You know. Amen. Boy, that's so. Bring it on, man. We getting the plow.
Y'all get ready to take a journey with me today. This is the time when Paul and Barnabas were sent out to go on their first journey together. And they go into what we call Turkey, Asia Minor. There was a province of Asia within Asia Minor, okay? It was a smaller part. So what we call Asia today is really huge. But back then, it was just a small part of Turkey. And so we'll hear about some of these regions and some of the cities. We're going to be looking at some special cities there in Turkey that they went to visit. Paul and Barnabas did. And this is, I guess, the first formal trip that was taken, or that we have in Acts recorded, is that was taken to advance the kingdom. Advance the kingdom.
Amen.
And this was their purpose, to advance the kingdom.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to pull out some things here. So let's look in Acts 13. I'm going to back up a little bit.
Can you release some prayer over?
Certainly, certainly. Father, we pray that you will show us how to advance your kingdom.
Amen.
And we will learn from how it was advanced in the New Testament, Father, so that we can advance it today in this time.
Jesus.
And in an even more effective manner. Be even more effective in advancing your kingdom, Father.
Yes.
We have a lot more people that need to hear the word, Father.
Jesus.
And we've got some similar conditions, Father, today,
Jesus,
as they had back then. So work within us, Father. Mm-hmm. Prompt us, encourage us to go out and share your word, both in teaching and in power.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank
Amen.
Lord.
Look in Acts, let's see, where I want to start here, 13. And we're going to skip over to verse 4 and start reading. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus is a small island there in the Mediterranean. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician. Okay, now this is number one, okay? Number one, let's pay attention. Number one, they run into a certain magician. This is in the RSV, by the way. A Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Now, take note of that. He was a Jew.
Right.
He was a Jew. He was not a Gentile. He was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But he was a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He was a sorceress, mm-hmm, sorcerer, a wizard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
His name was actually Bar-Jesus, son of Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That was a pretty common name back then.
It was a fairly common name. So he was the son of a guy named Joshua,
mm-hmm,
Jewish name. He was with the proconsul, I think the King James calls him a deputy. He was. This was a Roman guy that was over this particular area. He's like a governor.
Mm-hmm.
Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence,
mm-hmm,
who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was interested in hearing the word of God. He wanted to hear the word of God. They'd apparently been around preaching, and he got wind of it, and he wanted to hear it. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, withstood them, seeking to turn away the proconsul from the faith. They got a little resistance, didn't they? Got a little resistance here. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, You enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand.
Ain't that something?
Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching or the doctrine of the Lord. Okay? Well, now, that's kind of strikes you as kind of weird, doesn't it? Was he astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, or the miracle that was wrought when Paul spoke to Elymas? We would think, oh, we would be astonished at the miracle that took place, right? But it says he was astonished at the
doctrine,
the teaching of the Lord. So what does that tell you? He saw the two as being
one.
Whoa. You see, what you teach, you do. What you do, you teach. You don't separate the two. You don't separate the two. Our teaching should be full of power, full of boldness, full of power. And we should back up our words with our actions, right? Like Jesus did, he says, what are you condemning me for? Was it what work have I done that you're condemning me for? Oh, it's not the work, it's what you said. He says, how do you separate the two? How do you separate the two?
I'm all right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, first visit that we wanted to talk about, we're going to talk about another visit, okay? This was his visit here. He did this to a Jew who was withstanding him.
Whoa.
Was standing him preaching to a guy who wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who wanted to hear the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you stop me from rescuing this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to let you stop me from rescuing this guy.
Uh-huh.
He needs rescuing.
Yeah.
Sergius Paulus, that's a what? That's a Roman name. You see? This guy probably was not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deputy, the proconsul.
Yeah.
He was probably a Gentile. Mm-hmm. And this Jew was going to stop him from speaking to this Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to let you stop me from reaching this Gentile.
That's right.
Come on now.
And he, what? He said, you're going to be blind for a while.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Since you don't have eyes to see and you don't have ears to hear, let's let you see in the physical what you see in the spiritual, which is blindness, darkness.
Oh, cool.
You see. Okay, so you know what happened in Antioch? We talked about Antioch. We talked about that last week. Yeah.
That goes back to Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the church needs to walk a little bit more of that too.
Yeah.
And then just think about, that's love too. When
you
stop something that's stopping God.
I was thinking, where'd she go? When Ann was singing that song, when Jesus stood up and he said, peace be still.
Right.
And man, we got this big the song that builds and builds, no weapons, you know, no demon shall come against the person who says, you know. And I got to thinking, that's what we're supposed to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to stand up and say, peace be still.
Yeah.
Elymas, peace be still. I'm going to talk to this guy. You shut up.
That's right.
You know?
Jesus.
Isn't that what he said?
Yep.
We are supposed to be the ones going around saying, peace be still.
Amen.
No Jesus. Demon, no man shall stop the word going forth.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you.
The
rest of that verse said, this is our
heritage.
Yeah. Jesus.
But the timid, see, the problem we got is people are timid. See, they're scared to, you know, to share the gospel when opposition comes. And we got to overcome that timidness.
That's right.
Because the timid will not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. Okay, so let's go on, because I want to make a few points here. Of course, I'm interested in getting the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom out.
Amen.
And getting it out correctly.
Amen. Yeah.
So let's see what they said, okay? That's what we did last week. We saw what Paul said to the Jews, right? And all that sort of thing.
What verse? Where are you at?
I'm in Acts 13, okay? And we're going, and we covered Antioch, okay? So what we want to do is we want to jump over and look at Iconium. And that is in 14, okay? I just backed up to 13 to pick that up, okay? So let's go to 14. It says in 14 verse 1, chapter 14 verse 1, it says, "Now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue." Now they're going into a Jewish synagogue. They're not going into the presence of the governor. Okay, they're not going into the governor's mansion to talk to a Gentile. They're moving right into a Jewish synagogue, all right? "And so spoke that a great company believed, both of Jews and of Greeks." But the now, what did they say? It doesn't say what they said, does it? Well, we got that back in Acts 13, yeah, right? We know what they say in the synagogue, okay? They told us that when they said it, talked at Antioch. So we don't have to repeat that. It's said pretty much probably the same thing. All right, verse 2. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against their brethren." Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. That sounds pretty similar, doesn't it, to what we just read?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's see what Paul did about that, right? "So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to molest them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding country, and there they preached the gospel." So what did Paul do? He didn't do anything, did he? He didn't do anything. He just kept preaching the word. He didn't do anything to those Jews. They were doing the same thing, right, that Elymas was doing. Huh. A mystery. Well, let's keep going. "Now, in Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was a cripple from birth who had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he sprang up and walked. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lyconian, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.'" Whoa, that's called impressed. That's called impressed. They were impressed, weren't they? "Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, because he was the chief speaker, they called Hermes." Hermes is Mercury in the Roman pantheon, okay? This is supposed to be very fast, okay? "And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the people. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out among the multitude, crying, 'Men, why are you doing this?'" Now this is what they preached to them. Okay? Now these were not Jews. All right? These guys were wanting to worship them as Greek gods. Mm-hmm. So is he gonna say the same thing to them that he says to the Jews? No. He's going to speak to them in a different way. And let's see what he says. "Men, why are you doing this? We are also our men of like nature with you, and bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, For he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. With these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Whoa. Now, interesting thing to pull out of this. When Paul spoke to Jews, all right, he spoke about Abraham, Moses, David, right? The prophets, the law, the prophecies, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, all this kind of stuff. You get here, there's no mention of that because these people are not familiar with that.
Exactly.
So he goes and he speaks to them, what? Well, he speaks to them according to what he perceives them knowing and believing. According
good,
to
right?
their past experiences.
That's good.
Okay? When he goes to the synagogue, he speaks to the Jews according to what? Their past experiences. He says, well, we got some shared experiences. I'll speak to you what, based on what I perceive to be your past experiences.
So in order to do that, he had to have to research some stuff about that.
Exactly.
And find out.
Well, he knew about the Jews, okay? Now, when he spoke to the Greeks, okay, he spoke about what? He spoke about God, but look at the terms he uses. All right? Look.
You know about God.
Yeah. He said, I got to tell you a little bit about this God who created everything. All right? Who was good to us by giving us fruitful seasons and this sort of thing. So he talks about them in terms that they can grasp hold of. He started talking about Abraham and Moses, and they would go, who are those guys? You know? What are you talking about? You know? So he speaks to them in terms of their past experiences.
Amen.
So when we, in summary, you know, when we present the good news of the kingdom of God to people, mm-hmm. we do it based on our past experiences mm-hmm. and what we perceive to be their past experiences.
Right.
All right? What we perceive to be their beliefs. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is what we find Paul doing here. And then there's another city he goes to, Derbe, and he doesn't say a whole lot about that, okay? Now, there's some common threads that I wanted to just read to you real quick here. He says, the common threads are this. When they go into a city, you go into a town, the good news of the Messiah is preached and taught. Miracles are performed. Mm-hmm. All right? Many Jews and Gentiles believe the word of God and rejoice. They receive it. That's the third thread. A fourth common thread that you'll find in every one of these cities is that unbelieving Jews, even in the face of healings, miracles, signs, and wonders, actively oppose the apostles. And they even influence the Gentile rulers to persecute them. I mean, Paul, you know, was even dragged out, you know, taken out of the city, stoned, and left for dead.
Yep.
After this. Then, after the persecution, they leave the city and go into the next city. So what do we take from this? One of the things we take from this is, when presented the good news of Jesus, righteous people, or religious people, I should say, religious people will be offended.
Yep.
Will be offended.
Amen.
Okay? So. Now, real quick, and I'm going to finish up with this. Why did Paul blind Elymas, a Jew, and yet when he was persecuted by the other Jews in the other cities, he just left and went to the next one. I mean, one he was even stoned and left for dead. And they went, after they left him for dead, the disciples went out and stood around him, and suddenly he stands up and walks off.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, that's another miracle, yeah. And the next day he leaves and goes to the next city. So why is it, do you think, that Elymas got it and the other guys got Paul didn't do anything to him? I believe, yeah. Go ahead.
Let's think about who he was, who he said he was, a false prophet.
Okay. It's good. It's good.
Could you say his way by the Spirit to do or not do?
You could. I guess that's what people have said in the past. Yeah. I think what it was is that, remember I said that Paul deals with people based on his past experiences as well as what he perceives their experiences to be. What she says, he was not a true Jew. He was a false prophet. He was a sorcerer. A sorcerer who was forbidden by the law.
Right.
Right? So he was not trying to follow God. All right? He was just absolutely in rebellion to God. That's what this Jew was. What about these other Jews? The other Jews were the ones that were in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. Right? That's right. That Paul came to the synagogue and preached to them first. They're the ones that got out and got all the persecution up against him. Mm-hmm. Right? And Paul, if you remember, Paul was a Pharisee. Right? Mm-hmm. He was misled. Mm-hmm. He thought he was doing God's will.
And he understood.
And he saw him and he said, you know, I used to be in that place. Mm-hmm. I used to be in that very same place. Mm-hmm. I used to do what they did. Mm-hmm. Persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And don't you know, that past experience said, ooh. I feel for him. I really feel for him.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good,
right? Amen.
So, that's really good.
Come on, brother. Thurston.